Hello, ladies and gentlemen, an addendum to the last episode where I mentioned the CIA and its dark aspects, its extra-legal aspects, its deceptive aspects. And I had mentioned also, although it's an addendum, although this will stand on its own for its facts, and I had mentioned that Harry Truman, I incorrectly stated the time period, eventually communicated resentment and regret about the CIA quickly growing out of its britches, if you will, getting too big for its britches, going beyond the original scope. And so I said, I should be able to find this. And so I looked it up, and you can find this article, but they're basing it off of an underlying source that you could then look up. It's on popularresistance.org. The name of the article, President Truman Was Right in 1963, Need to Limit the CIA. So as you can see, I got that incorrect. It wasn't just years after he created it in 47. It was that he later on, as a former president, spoke on it. But he was very clear about it. So in 1963, literally a month after President Kennedy was murdered, and there is a connection there, by the way, at least an implied connection. Now, is it absolutely proven? No, but you'll understand the backstory and probably therefore understand maybe Truman's motivation to do this at the time he did it. A op-ed was published in the now what's the intelligence rag, another irony, the Washington Post. The op-ed was titled Limit CIA Role to Intelligence. And the author was one Harry S. Truman, the former president who founded the agency, or on whose watch the agency was founded. In the very first sentence, I think it has become necessary to take another look at the purpose and operations of our Central Intelligence Agency. Yeah, so there we are after World War II, 1947 it was created, but yeah, come 1963, December, a month after the murder of JFK, he expressed this concern. And here are some quotes. The original reason why I thought it necessary to organize the agency, ... and what I expected it to do, quote, charged with a collection of all intelligence reports from every available source, and to have those reports reach me as president without department, quote, treatment, end quote, or interpretations. So he put the extra little quote around treatment, as in, oh, that's their little term for it, right? Then he said that the most important thing was to guard against a chance of intelligence being used to influence or to lead the president into unwise decisions. So if you think about this is really the department that was meant to be no spin. And instead, it has just turned into the lying agency. And remember, go look at the Department of Justice. I mean, if you want to look at this, the type of thing that he would be concerned with, it literally happened in 2016. Anyway, when I've discussed the Department of Justice's report on what was Operation, anyway, the look into whether or not there was Russian collusion. And when they looked at their own FBI activity and said, holy crap, this was wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. The briefing shouldn't have included that. It should have included this for more context. Over and over again, this was a narrative as an FBI intelligence instead of the full picture. And it is literally and exactly this incorrect collection of data, despite what they actually knew, to inform Carter Page's FISA warrant and give some steam to the Russian collusion hoax that allowed that to go forward. So in that case, it didn't necessarily misinform the executive because it wasn't his decision. But remember, soon after, he tried to talk to the FBI person, go, come on, man, look into this. And they said, you're trying to affect the FBI, which is interesting, right? Because it was kind of the opposite. It's like this information was massaged and treated about a sitting president when, as soon as the Department of Justice does the work back into it, what was it called? Operation Crossfire? That wasn't it. Seems like Operation Something Fire was in there. As soon as they do the work into it, they go, man, mistakes were made. Yeah, but as big as those mistakes were, was that not intentional and directed and compromised? So again, he said, the most important thing was to guard against the chance of intelligence being used to influence or to lead the president into unwise decisions, did Truman say. And as we know, this article then goes into the idea of the Bay of Pigs. We'll get to that. Let's and how that fills out the context. And we will revisit that context. This article does a very good job of revisiting that context, but I will recite it here and paraphrase it here. So yeah, the Bay of Pigs was a real thing that not in any way, shape, or form would it be something that Truman would think was the proper scope of the CIA. I mean, honestly and obviously, if you know anything about the Bay of Pigs, it was the opposite of the agency giving the president an untarnished, view of intelligence. And instead, it was truly the beginning of the lying agencies. And Dulles was a true criminal. And they hired him initially to be a criminal. And then, not surprisingly, he continued to be one, up to and including the idea that he would not and should not advise the president properly. In fact, should, as this article goes, puts it, that they should mousetrap President Kennedy. So Truman then laments that the CIA had become, and this is the famous quote, so removed from its intended role, I never had any thought that when I set up the CIA, that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations, It has become an operational and at times a policy-making arm of the government. He concluded with this interesting admonition. I would like to see the CIA restored to its original assignment as the intelligence arm of the president, and that whatever else it can properly perform in that special field, and that its operational duties be terminated or properly used elsewhere. Let's see if he says anything else here. Then this particular article does some further. Actually, there's a little bit more around the article, because the Truman Library showed some of the backstory on this because of notes that are in the Truman Library. Documents in the Truman Library show that 9 days after Kennedy was assassinated, Truman sketched out in handwritten notes what he wanted to say in the op-ed. He noted, among other things, that the CIA had worked as he intended only, quote, when I had control. An interesting backstory, too, then, is retired Admiral Sidney Sowers, S-O-U-E-R-S at the time, also did an attaboy to Truman, applauding that his stand with his op-ed and saying that Dulles was making the CIA a different animal than the one I tried to set up for you. And Sauer specifically, we'll get back then to the idea of the Bay of Pigs, but specifically brought it up. He said this a ridiculous idea. That's not the quote, but the quote is, quote, to conduct a, quote, war, end quote, invading Cuba with a handful of men and without air cover. And he lamented that the agency's apparently what he called principal effort had instead evolved into causing, quote, revolutions in smaller countries around the globe, end quote, and added, quote, with so much emphasis on operations, it would not surprise me to find that the matter of collecting and processing intelligence has suffered some. Again, very true. They're so interested in creating chaos around the world, allegedly for American interests. So let's then go back to Dulles. Now, an interesting thing when I've looked into Dulles and the idea of the Warren Commission, just as an aside, is that really the J. Edgar Hoover's week-long investigation into, quote, investigation into the murder of JFK really just ended up informing and making the decision of the Warren Commission for it. He came to the conclusion in a matter of 7 days. So a lot of us think, well, the Warren Commission screwed up. It's hard, though, to ignore how much the FBI's, quote, research into it and Hoover's insistence and energy really just painted the conclusion already well before it should have been concluded, especially as more and more papers come out and we understand all the operations behind the scenes. So back to the Bay of Pigs as a quick summary. The idea of the Bay of Pigs was that when President Kennedy wanted no such operation, I can't remember whether the CIA ended up doing it without his permission or simply did it in an entirely inept way, such that a fuller operation would be needed. And JFK said, no, you're not going to trick me into a fuller, more scale operation. You should have informed me better to begin with. The Bay of Pigs idea, the plan was hatched during Eisenhower's presidency, and eventually Kennedy allowed it, but he didn't particularly endorse it. And he specifically said, no, we're not going to use combat forces. If you can do it with this, you know, small force, then try to do it. But it turns out that that was a mousetrapping by a supreme criminal in American history, Alan Dulles. And then also remember that Alan Dulles himself was on the Warren Commission. So, yeah, 9 days after President Kennedy's dead, it's interesting enough to President Truman to talk about this and start writing about it. And then a month after the death, it's actually published. So as to the Bay of Pigs then, the mousetrapping was to send in a number of forces that would be overwhelmed, and therefore the president would have no choice but to send in U.S. air and ground support. This is after he said, we will not be using combat forces. So, and in fact then, we have coffee-stained notes handwritten by Alan Dulles, were discovered after his death and reported by historian Lucien Vandenbroek. They showed how Dulles drew Kennedy into a plan that was virtually certain to require the use of U.S. combat forces. In his notes, Dulles explained that when the chips were down, Kennedy would be forced by the realities of the situation to give whatever military support was necessary rather than to permit the enterprise to fail. And so, in reality, that was to put a failing plan out there on purpose to deceive the president and get him to have to do something that he had said he would not do. And so it reminds me a lot of this idea that Biden and others talk about how much they're concerned about the Ukrainians after they gave Russia an existential threat by not giving them that one country cushion that they otherwise have, even after they warned them, give us a one country cushion, do not NATO-ize them, don't do it. And then after we give the existential threat, we say how much we care about the poor Ukrainian citizens that have suffered horribly as a result when we were a main pressure point of it starting. Oh, well, don't you care about the combat forces? If you cared about the combat forces, I mean the forces that we put in there, not the combat forces, for this exercise, you would have had a good enough plan so they wouldn't be stuck there. No, he did not care about those people. They were pawns. He wanted to get them in deep trouble because he wanted to control the president as someone who was a regime changer. If you want to look into some interesting history of Castro in the United States, you can go find articles on the various assassination attempts. I don't think I've ever talked about it in a podcast on Scales of Truth. I think maybe back when I was putting a lot of things on social medias where I put some of that up. Highly interesting assassination attempts that he got past. Really strange ones. And if you also want to go into the history of this situation, and it's so interesting, it's supposed to be called diplomacy, and it's a time-honored tradition, potentially, but then if the wrong person's doing it, then it's, oh, how, you can't do that. When the head of a country goes, you know what, let me go past the channels and just see if I can get a little diplomacy and a little conversation, one-to-one, human-to-human, leader-to-leader, and that's a different dynamic, right? Like, it's harder to hate somebody that you talk with. If you have a conversation with them, it's harder to hate them as just that particular cutout of what they're supposed to be. So also interesting Kennedy history is the back channels that he created towards Castro so that he could have conversations that hopefully wouldn't end up in, instead of being forced by people like Dulles into these warmonger type situations. So that's also interesting backstory. So while I like Ike and his outgoing address was prescient and classic about the military-industrial complex, isn't it interesting and ironic that he is the person who named Alan Dulles as a CIA director, and Dulles' forte was, something based on lying, to overthrow governments. You overthrow governments through deceit, through creating rebels from scratch, you know, to arming them, to taking what we've discussed this in the idea of people being played as the FBI alleged actors. I've had shows on this where would the person who is supposedly a domestic terrorist ever have gone that far? Did they have sentiments? Yeah, maybe. But would they have ever acted on them until you put a bunch of other people, a bunch of other players in the circle and do everything but everything around it in order to get that person, in order to entangle them into a mess, and then so you can arrest them as a terrorist? Well, it's the same idea, the same deception of, well, yeah, were there people who weren't happy with the particular regime maybe in some other countries? Sure. But without Dulles and the lies and the funding and the arms and probably the misinformation too, like, you know, planting stories and the like, how do you get regime change? He overthrew governments. That was his classic, and coups in Iran and Guatemala. And so all of a sudden, those were in the 50s, and he had those under his belt, did Dulles. And now he sees a president that doesn't want to go along with his, we had better face up to the Soviet Union, and we might as well do it now. I mean, this guy who was used to having a few skins on his wall and wanted another one, and no president was going to question him, you know, early deep state, right? I've been here since the early 50s. You only got here, mister. Don't question me. I'm just going to trick him into it. Imagine. But then remember, after Bay of Pigs, all that did was enrage Kennedy. Like, he could see through it. It was very obvious. Hey, man, they're stuck. We've abandoned them. No, you abandoned them with your plan. I told you no combat forces. Do you see this face? No combat forces. This is on you. And he fired Dulles. And, you know, the famous quote that he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the winds. So remember, this was only 15 years after the creation of the CIA, less than a decade and a half, really less than, but 5 years in, Dulles is already downing other countries, as they're saying here, being operational as opposed to neutral intelligence gathering and briefing, neutral consolidation of intelligence so that the president is well briefed and not misinformed and doesn't get a treatment. And if there is any question as to how treasonous and how dark and evil Dulles was, a former president says, this is not what we meant for it to do at all, and says it very openly in the Post. Well, somehow the Post only runs it once. They don't even run it again, which is interesting. By the way, last episode, I accidentally said Operation Paperclip when I meant Mockingbird. I need to add that editorial note. So I will add that editorial note in that. Sorry about that. You know, you misspeak when you speak about a lot of things off the cuff. It does happen. So anyway, as to this op-ed, a former president says the CIA has outgrown its scope. We really need to do something different. And again, to quote why he would, why Dulles would have this reaction, let's go back to the conclusion statement by Truman. I would like to see the CIA restored to its original assignment as the intelligence arm of the president, and that whatever else it can properly perform in that special field, and that its operational duties be terminated or properly used elsewhere. Terminated. Its operational duties be terminated. So with that in mind, the dark heart, the black heart that is Dulles, the warmonger that is Dulles, the literal presidential deceiver, the literal trying to have a soft coup on a president by, no, you're going to do what I say because you're not going to want lives to be at risk, and I will put lives at risk in order to control you. So this dark heart, this treasonous, awful, awful person, after the op-ed was published, well, he came up with an excuse to make it all the way over to Independence, Missouri. This is according to the Truman Library. And so on the afternoon of April 17th, 1964, Dulles spent a half an hour one-on-one with the former president, trying to get him to retract the story. Well, apparently to no avail, and no problem, as this article states. Again, I'll state the end of the article name if I remember at the end here, but it's on popularresistance.org. 4 days later, in a memo of a conversation for his old buddy Lawrence Houston, I'm quoting now, CIA general counsel from 47 to 73, he fabricated a private retraction for Truman, claiming that Truman told him the Washington Post article was all wrong and that Truman seemed quite astounded by it. Really? The author was Truman. So imagine the level of scumbaggery to, first of all, deceive a sitting president who gave you clear direction and you didn't care and put people at risk and then were ready to blame him because he wouldn't go rescue them. And then you go find a former president and fabricate something he said when he was the literal author of the op-ed. Can you imagine the level of scumbaggery that takes? When I say this guy is one of the worst people in the history of the United States. That is what I'm talking about. And isn't it interesting? Now, I know there's two Dulleses, that just like George Bush, the only president with direct CIA ties, is the one president we're supposed to adore from all parts of the political spectrum. I mean, now the CIA building is named after him or whatever, kind of a nod to what we didn't even know, really understand at the time. There was a former director, like that was never highlighted. Former CIA director being a vice president and then president. Just like that, oh my gosh, he's so obviously universally loved and respected that we have to name a main building or complex for him. Same thing with Dulles. I mean, it's probably this Dulles, but I don't know for sure because there were the Dulles brothers. There's a Dulles Airport. So, yeah, the same scumbag, the biggest lies are often covered with the biggest memorials. So this scumbag goes and talks to a former president, and again, won't take what the former president has to offer. His will and his conclusion and his statements are not good enough for this guy. And so he's just, he lies and says, Truman told me it was all wrong. And he was quite astounded by it. Really? How could he be quite astounded by it? Are you serious? That he wouldn't have said that before? He wouldn't have mentioned how the Washington Post got it all wrong before, just to you, Dulles. In June 10th of 1964, so some, 7 months later, Truman restated his critique of covert action, emphasizing he never intended the CIA to get involved in, quote, strange activities. There's a lot more in this article. Again, this article on popularresistance.org that, again, I just wanted to mine initially because I had mentioned that President Truman very clearly at some point showed regret about what the CIA had become. There's a lot more in this. It's called President Truman Was Right in 1963, Need to Limit CIA on popularresistance.org. So also, now they mention what is they consider a pretty good book on the subject as to potentially Dulles's and the CIA's involvement. Remember, Dulles, regime changer. What, you think he cares about what the people or what the alleged leader of the people, the duly elected leader of the people think? He doesn't. He's brought down multiple democracies because they don't have the right to be established as they are. He's operational. You think that he's going to worry about what two different presidents think? And so I'm going to tell you again that think about this. 9 days after the murder of JFK, and we've got so much more information now than then, President Truman is thinking, I want to write an op-ed. What would it be? Something like 10 years after he's out of office or so? I think he's maybe late 40s. Was he into early 50s or was that already Eisenhower? Eisenhower had two terms. Just 9 days after, and maybe it's not even coincidence that it was published exactly a month after. So in this article, they say a good book regarding the CIA aspect potentially is James Douglas's 2008 book, JFK and the Unspeakable. Just recall that the same guy whose two different presidents' actual desires and words weren't good enough for him, who had toppled at least two other countries, the same guy got himself placed on the Warren Commission. A literal behind-the-scenes hearsay attempt at retracting what President Truman said. Now, the person that I like, I'm not saying Douglas hasn't done good work. I've not read this. But James D. Eugenio does really good work around this. Really good work. So yeah, they've got a lot more here. This article's even longer. They have some sections, so please go check it out, popularresistance.org. About this one section is, and let me look at the date because that'll kind of highlight where this is coming from a little bit. This was in 2013. In one of their sections I haven't gotten to is, well, there's more about Dulles and Dallas, but Obama Intimidated is a section. Let me see if there's any other sections. Testimony of ex-CIA General Counsel. See if there's another one. That's it, but that's probably, you know, something like a third or half the article. So check that out. But yeah, I just had never really ran down that exact quote. I'd heard it, but never really went and particularly studied it to kind of capture it, to solidify it more in my memory and for those of other folks. So hope you find that interesting. Again, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. You can catch me over on Chemology 411. Like the episodes, follow the podcast. So, you know, adjust your notifications. You know, a lot of different platforms have you change your notifications and maybe get them as text. Maybe following in one or favoriting is a little bit different than following, because while you might subscribe to one, favoriting does give you the extra notification. So check into those distinctions, because I know I follow a lot of podcasts on, I should say a lot of my podcasts on Spotify are quote in my library, but I don't get notifications from all of them. So a lot of times there's a distinction there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. I appreciate it.